Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Yeah, we thought we would have it all figured out by the time we're in our 30s.
But surprise, we don't.
No, we don't. Maybe in 2021 we'll have it figured out.
Maybe. Happy New Year, by the way, Candace.
Happy New Year. Oh my goodness. I was having such a laugh the other day about how we were together for New Year's on going into 2020. And we had these wishing papers and we wrote down like our goals on these wishing papers, like our intentions for 2020. Do you remember what they were?
I don't remember exactly what I wrote, but I think it was just something, you know, that had nothing to do with a pandemic or with a crazy political race or anything that happened in 2020. But I do remember we all wrote our personal goals and then we burnt them and let them kind of go away in the wind. And we were ready to take on 2020. And then all hell broke loose. So what do you remember what you wrote down, Candace?
Yeah, I think mine was fear, like letting go of fear. Which is so hilarious going right into a year where I was pregnant during a pandemic and like lived in a state of constant anxiety and fear. But yeah, it's just, you know, we are recording this a little bit before New Year's because with baby and postpartum, we're just having to kind of record this a little bit earlier. But, you know, I got high hopes for 2021. You know, it's a new year. I still believe in like the like excitement of like going into a new year and being able to reflect and learn from experiences from before and take that into to new experiences.
I love the idea of being positive. I think after 2020, we've all really learned what matters most to us and that the little things matter most. And so even moving ahead into 2021, I know that's something I'm going to take with me is really knowing what I value and making sure that that is my priority, because we can all learn from our experiences, from looking back on our experiences. And speaking of looking back, we have a really candid, incredible conversation with a woman who has been through so much in her life and talks candidly with us about what she learns through all of that. Today, we're going to sit down with Marianne Williamson. She is a best-selling author, political activist, and spiritual thought leader. She's the author of 14 books, four of which have been number one New York Times bestsellers.
Williamson also founded Project Angel Food, which is a nonprofit that has delivered more than 12 million meals to the ill and dying homebound patients since 1989. She has a new book titled Politics of Love, a Handbook for a New American Revolution. And she is also here to talk about her brand new podcast, the Marianne Williamson Podcast, where she brings on thought leaders from all areas of life to discuss how the world can be. Most of you might know her from running in the 2020 election. We're so excited for our listeners to get to know her a little bit better today. Without further ado, here is our conversation with Marianne Williamson. And we're back with Marianne Williamson. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited to sit down with you. And I mean, can we all just agree it's a pretty uneventful year? You know, we're rounding out the end of 2020. Is there much to talk about at this point?
Nothing to forgive, nothing to be upset about, nothing to be relieved about.
As you go into the new year, what is something simple that you're taking with you as we're going into 2021? Something maybe on a little lighter note that you have learned throughout the experience of 2020?
Well, I ran for president. So this was, there was a lot there. There was a lot that was exhilarating and there was a lot that was brutal. So I want to allow myself to be informed in meaningful ways and to carry that with me and to do whatever positive good I can with the information that I've received, the things that I've experienced. But I also need to forgive. I need to forgive myself. I need to forgive mm-hmm. others. You leave an experience like that with a lot of opportunities for resentments, a lot of opportunities for cynicism. And so my personal need to clear all of that out is as important as my desire to use whatever opportunities I have to do good going forward.
Well, you just jumped right in. That's definitely something that we wanted to talk to you about today, was your experience running for president. I guess what was that healing like towards the beginning of the year? Obviously, before, you know, the pandemic started, because then that, you know, that's something collectively as a society that we've all, you know, began to experience together. But for you personally, what, you know, now reflecting back, what is something that that you experienced or learned about yourself through that period of healing?
Well, when the experience was over, when the campaign was over, you know, the experiences never end. I mean, you know, forms change, relationships change form, situations change form. But life is one continuous journey, of course. So the journey of life doesn't stop just because one circumstance changes. And I knew when the campaign was over, because I lived my life in a way that I put personal growth and transformation first, because I know that that's what determines everything that happens. I knew what my internal work was, but I also knew, because of my own personality, that my biggest challenge was to not carry self-pity. I felt that it was unfair the way I was smeared. It was unfair the way I was caricatured. I felt there was a lot of misogyny coming from women as well as men. And it's one thing to discern those things, to see them, to even name them and call them out. but it's another thing to hold them in your own heart and mind as personal resentment or grievance. In The Course in Miracles, it says you can have a grievance or you can have a miracle. You cannot have both. So there was a lot about the campaign that could make me better, but there was also a lot about the campaign which, if I was not careful, could make me bitter. Because I was inside the belly of the beast. I saw how that thing really works. So how do I take that and use that for contribution? Use that for the good. And there is plenty of that. There's plenty of that, not only in terms of the extraordinary privilege of having talked to voters. I mean, my experience talking to voters was 98% positive and inspiring. And if anything, left me even more encouraged about the possibilities of democracy. But my interaction and experience of the system could lead to a lot of cynicism and a lot of bitterness, which would not only not help me, not only would deflect any breakthroughs that are possible, but would also not help the would not help the system, would not help the country. Because people being so cynical as to say, well, you know, to hell with all of them, I'm not even going to vote, I'm not even going to engage, is not the answer. So that's the work that I've had to do and that I continue to do. But I do know, you know, that line, because I put my, you know, I do believe that spiritual principles are the guidance system that works, that miracles, breakthroughs, new beginnings occur naturally where there's love. And where you were holding a resentment, where you were blaming, where you were attacking, where you were judging, you were deflecting the miracle. So that means, and also as a Course in Miracles student, that means everyone. You know, I mean, we all find ourselves, there are some people it's pretty easy to forgive. Oh, lighten up. It wasn't that big a deal, your friends say to you. We all have that. Yeah, you're right. It's not that big a deal. Others, it's a bigger trigger because of a childhood wound, let's say. And then others, you know, you really can build a case and you're correct. But The Course in Miracles says you're wrong even if you're right, if it includes blame and judgment. So the issue is, what did I learn about how the system operates? But how can I so allow that alchemy to happen within myself that I can become a voice for, hey guys, this is really bad. Let me tell you how bad it is. And this is how we make it right. But that's personal work, you know.
Speaking of personal work, I would love to know, you are such a spiritual being and you have that in every asset of your life. Was running for president and the decision to run a calling inside you? How did you make that decision?
Absolutely. But I have to say that I doubt, first of all, I think everybody's a spiritual being, whether they see themselves that way or not, because I believe we're made of spirit, all of us. Everybody's on a spiritual journey. Most people just don't seem to know it. I can't imagine anyone running for president who does not feel a profound inner calling, whether they would label it that or not, because it's a difficult, difficult thing to do. Nobody takes that on casually. So the fact that I felt somewhere deep inside me to do it, I doubt that anybody who ran didn't feel deep inside that they were supposed to do it. You know, I felt that there were people during the campaign, there were journalists who were trying to trap me so they could make fun of me. Well, did you feel like an inner voice? You know, that was going on throughout the whole time. So it's almost like you can't even describe things in any kind of a language these days without opening yourself up. But yes, did I feel an absolute, I once heard Oprah say, she said, don't do something unless every single part of you says yes. And every single part of me said yes. It was a sense of what I should do that was so all-encompassing. And I don't regret that. I do look back at mistakes I made for sure, but running was not one of them. Mm. And the fact that I was so sure about that was what kept me going.
For some of our listeners who might only know you from your experience of running for president, I wanted to talk a little bit about just where you started, especially when you moved to Los Angeles and kind of how you began speaking. I read that you began speaking at a nonprofit philosophical research society, and that's kind of how you got
started and talking more about spirituality and essentially sermons on a more relatable level.
Oh, that's my whole career. I have had a 37-year career talking about A Course in Miracles and writing about it. My first book, A Return to Love, was published in 1992, and that was Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. So spirituality, personal growth, transformation, metaphysics, this has been my career for over 35 years.
And but how did you initially start that? Is that something that you felt was maybe within you, or did you read something yourself, or did you meet someone?
I started reading A Course in Miracles when I was in my 20s. And when I was 31 years old, I moved to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I was working. I had had a bookstore for a short period of time in Houston. And when I moved to Los Angeles, I got a job working at this metaphysical book publisher called the Philosophical Research Society. And they had a series of lectures on different metaphysical topics. And I was, at that point, a serious student of the Course in Miracles. The Course in Miracles is not a religion. There's no dogma. There's no doctrine. It's a psychological training in forgiveness, basically, based on universal spiritual themes. So I was very excited when a woman who worked at the Philosophical Research Society asked me if I would like to give a lecture on the course, because at that time, the course was starting to be a hot topic in those circles. Now, remember, the career that I and so many others have in that area today didn't exist then. There was no career niche of spiritual coach or spiritual speaker in it. It didn't even exist. So I was very excited because the course had become such a passion for me. After I started lecturing, not long after, the AIDS crisis burst onto the scene. And I was living in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles was particularly hard hit by the AIDS crisis. Western medicine certainly tried, but it took a while. It was kind of like COVID. You know, it was very much like COVID in the sense that there simply wasn't any medicine yet. You know, they had things that they could try to help people, but there was no cure. Right. And it also took because of the whole gay issue, how many gay men particularly were getting it. It took a lot of the organized religions some time before they worked through their own, whether it was homophobia or what. So there was a lot of silence there. And I was a then young woman. In my early 30s, 31 years old at that time, talking about a God who loves you no matter what, and miracles. And so really gay men in Los Angeles at that time gave me my career, because so many of them started coming to my lectures. So then when I wrote a book, I wanted to write a book about the Course in Miracles, there was a publisher who was highly placed in the publishing industry. I think he was a gay man himself, who said to HarperCollins and others, don't kid yourself. She's got this something going on down there in LA. There are a lot of people who are listening to her or whatever. So they bought my book. Then when my book came out, Oprah had me on. And that was before she had her book club. And she got on and said it was the best book she'd ever read and bought 1,000 copies. And so she really gave me my national and international exposure. And then
it doesn't get any cooler than Oprah saying
although at that time I didn't really know that. I thought it was oh, how nice that she liked it, you know. That stuff didn't exist, you know. I hardly even knew what the bestseller was, you know. She was like, oh, that's so nice, she wants to have me on.
But when someone of that caliber,
she likes that, by the way, she's very much like that. She is very hip to who's there for the right reason.
Right. What is the spiritual conversation you have with someone like Oprah?
Oprah is very much, what you see is what you get. Who she is on the air is who she is. And the conversations that she has on the air, what she has in person. And what she has on the air is what we're all having. I mean, I think that's her popularity. We know she's saying the same stuff we're all saying, having the same conversations we're all having.
Well, that essentially period of time catapulted you to a whole new experience within your life. And, you know, we talk a lot on our intro into this show is the fact that we're in our 30s and we thought we'd have it all figured out and we don't. And here you are in your 30s. And at this time, it's all kind of revealing itself to you, and you are just catapulted into this new realm of opportunity and speaking engagements and connecting with so many different people on so many different levels. Is there, you know, after the Oprah show, was this all part of your plan, or were you just kind of riding the wave of life at that point?
I was riding the wave of life because I, as a student of the Course in Miracles, one of the issues, and I talk a lot about this in my book, A Return to Love, God's plan works and yours doesn't. I mean, that's a large part of spiritual principle, that the acorn is already programmed to become the oak tree. The bud is already programmed to become the blossom. That embryo is already programmed to become a baby. The best thing you can do is put your feet up and drink chamomile and be calm, right? I mean, it's happening inside you. You're conscious. You know, I think that's why babies do grow away from anything we can interfere with. Nature knows what it's doing. And one of the issues is you can allow the force that keeps planets revolving around the sun run your life, or you can try to do it yourself. So as a student of the Course in Miracles, I realized that, and my life was unfolding in a way that demonstrated that to me. Now, when worldly success and the issues of worldly success, because all of a sudden I had a best-selling book that made more money than I'd ever seen, or also press attention, which I'd never seen. Those were issues where I made mistakes because they happened too fast. And I'm not saying people were not around me who I could have asked for help and guidance, because I think in looking back, I think there were people that I could have asked for help and guidance, but I didn't. So in terms of my work, it's kind of like we talked about with the political campaign. In terms of my work, I've done really, really well in terms of looking at myself in the mirror and saying, you have stayed true to what you believe and what you do, and you were there for the right reasons. It's the outer accoutrements of getting things done in a worldly sense, politics, money, success, where I've made the same mistakes that everybody has made, well, where a lot of people have made. And it's all because it's an issue of not, you know, I always say, in any area where I practice what I preach, I've done fine.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the Chocolate Bliss and Caramel Sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
We're back.
It's really interesting. On this podcast, we usually ask those who are our guests, you know, do you have any mentors? But you just mentioned the fact that you had them, but then you didn't access them.
You know, the joke is that men don't want to ask for directions. Yeah. But I think sometimes it's women, we're embarrassed to admit what we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I realize now I don't have that. Now right. I'm confident in what I do know, that if it's an area I don't know, I just want to find the smartest person and say, hey, could you help me? Because I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't have any problem doing that now. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was conscious that that's where I was, but it's where I was. And there's also, there's a play by a man named Mike Dugan. And there's a line in that play, I laughed at who I should have listened to. And I listened to who I should have laughed at. I think this is a big deal for women, maybe less your generation, because I think your generation grew up with greater financial literacy. Women were already, by the time you entered into your 20s and 30s, women empowered in the world is already it's happening already. It was certainly happening, and women in front of me were, but it was not as common. Things that I just never learned. So and it's interesting because when I say this, I can see the parallels to what happened in those days and what happened in my political campaign. I was way too impressed by people in suits, men in suits, and their equivalent.
And so I was going to ask, did you feel like you had to replicate an idea of what you were supposed to be, essentially?
It wasn't what I was supposed to be, but I thought that there was a certain type of person who was the one to guide me. And I now realize, no, those are the types of people who see you as a mark coming a mile away. Mm. Those are the people to audition and interview for a long time before you even let them in the room.
So having been through that, how can we now take advice from what you said you've lived and figure out who we do ask advice from?
Well, you know, I think that whether you call it the voice for God, divine intuition, whatever. I think if you meditate, particularly in the morning, and set your mind with the clarity by whatever your spiritual path is, then you simply know that you don't do anything without asking first. I'll give you an example. Early in my career, Oprah wanted to do a television show. Now, I look back at this now, and I half laugh and half cry Oprah Winfrey flies from Chicago with the top people at Harpo and sets you up in a convention, in a conference room at the Bel Air Hotel. Now, who I am now knows you don't ignore that. I just thought it was, she's so nice. And she wants to have a meeting. And she said, I want to, I know how to do a TV show based on what you're doing. I want to put you on television. Now, everything I write books about and already did write books about would have told me, and the irony here is I could have said this to her first. I could have said to her, may I pray about it? I mean, she's someone I could have actually used that language. Or at the very least said, thank you so much. May I think about this? May I have a weekend? Which she would have said, sure. Instead, I was so overwhelmed and the fear set in. I said, no, I don't think I want to go there. Who does that? But the thing that is so sad is if I just practiced spiritual principle, which is go into quiet, reflect on this, pray about this. And like I said before, I could have even used that language. Mm-hmm. But even in a regular business meeting, you can always say, you know, thank you so much. I need to think about this. I mean, this is something in business, you know. I just didn't know any of that. And I would just so in those areas, even though I knew to live the principles in the purview of the life I knew, when it came to money, when it came to the world, I just went into a reaction of fear and basically said no to a lot of things that I could have said yes to. And probably said yes to some things I should have said, some people I should have said no to, yeah.
It seems like there's a constant wave of you talking and discussing about how you aren't really able to use specific terms in business. Do you find this a lot, that there are some, for lack of a better word, I don't want to say airy fairy, but some sort of like spiritual terminology that doesn't necessarily translate in the business world?
The smartest people know that you should take your time. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to go pray about it. Mm. But if you say to the top people in business, I need some time to think about this. Can I take the weekend go to you? They'll say, absolutely. They'll actually think of you as a more powerful person.
Speaking of religion, is there a specific, do you have a religion that you follow, or is it spirituality, or is it prayer, or is it meditation, or do you have a label, or is it labelless?
Yeah. Well, as far as my religion is concerned, I'm Jewish, and that is my religion. My spirituality is universal. As a student of the Course in Miracles is not a religion, but it is based on universal spiritual themes. So my spiritual perspective on life involves spiritual themes that are at the heart of all the great religious teachings of the world.
Now, I have to ask this question because researching you is fascinating, and I think that you have lived such a incredible life. We learned that you officiated Elizabeth Taylor's wedding.
That's another
on the
one
Neverland Ranch. I could not
a bad
ask
career it. Move actually.
Wait, oh how? Okay, so this is what I want to know. What was that like, and how does something like that become a bad career move?
Yeah, she was friends with Sandy Gallen and David Geffen and that group of people. And once again, she was just a nice lady who called my house one day. And I responded to her that way. And she as a person, was a very sweet person. She was surrounded by a tough crowd, I'll tell you. And by that, I don't mean David and Sandy. I mean the crowd right around her was tough. But she herself was very sweet. When I joked just now that bad career move, I was made fun of, you know. It was a lot of, there's been a lot of that in my career, you know. Before me, what, she was married six times before me, and male ministers married her. They weren't made fun of, you know. It was something I looked back on and realized it was, you know, for years I was described as a woman who married Elizabeth Taylor, which was used to minimize my work and diminish it, even though she was lovely. Every time I saw her after that, after she got divorced from Larry Fortinsky, anytime I'd see her, she'd feel the need to almost like apologize to me about the fact that I really tried. Like, I would be upset that my knot wasn't tight enough. She herself is a very sweet lady.
Are you able, at this point to look back on moments like that, though, and with a sense of a smile or just like forgiveness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now those things that I'm mentioning now, all of them, I think that I'm still, now I was just saying to a woman on my team today, actually with this business about the campaign, I think I've still got somewhere in between 5 and 15% of some people who I see on TV and but I'm certainly getting there. But the stuff we're mentioning now, from way back, absolutely. I'm just grateful, and everything is, what I've come to realize is that we're our own worst enemy. I've been thrown on a lot of rocks in my life and career, and I came to realize that I was the wind. I was the storm that was throwing myself around. Life could have been so much easier. And I think that that's the spiritual principle, that the universe is programmed, just like the acorn is programmed to be the oak tree. Your life is programmed just like that baby. It's already in there. It's DNA. And there is already DNA. And to see how often we say no to something because it's too easy. It's right there. Everything you need is right there. But if you're not alert to the mystical nature of the universe, you don't realize the person right there, the book that's right there. So I'm very, that's what I've learned from life, is that whatever is happening, don't miss out on the gift of this moment, this person, this situation, and what's right around, because the universe is perfect. So everything you need, by definition, is already there.
Speaking of not missing out, have you ever thought of talking to Oprah about taking her up on her opportunity that she suggested so many years ago and saying, yes, sure, let's do it. Let's do it now.
No, the years went by and things that happened. And I'm extremely grateful to Oprah, and always will be, for the opportunities that she gave me. And I will always be grateful to Oprah. And I think she knows that.
Well, you have a lot of exciting things happening right now, namely your new podcast.
Thank you.
Welcome to the podcasting world.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very exciting. You say you want to bring on thought leaders from all areas of life. What inspired you to start this podcast, and especially right now in your career?
I think it was Bill Clinton who said, there's nothing wrong with America that can't be made right about what's right with America. On one hand, we're in such a terrible state. But on the other hand, we're filled with such wonderful people and wonderful projects and wonderful books and wonderful movies and wonderful films and wonderful businesses and wonderful products. I mean, what has happened that the worst of who we are has become collectively empowered, and some of the best of who we are is left into a dispersed field where it's there, but it's not guiding the society the way it might. Werner Erhard once said, you can live your life out of a vision, or you can live your life out of circumstances. And we clearly need a new vision. And this new vision comes from a new conversation in our heads and among us. That's why I think podcasts are popular. That's why I think your podcast is popular. People are trying to have conversations that matter. And that's what Martin Luther King said, that your life begins to end when you stop talking about things that matter. So there are so many people out there who I read their books or I talk to them, and I know, wow, this is it. This is cool. This is really neat. And I want to do whatever I can to amplify those voices. Like tomorrow, my podcast out right now has Andrew Yang. The one tomorrow will have Nina Turner. Not that Andrew or Nina need me to amplify their voices, but I think all of us are part of a field. I mean, it's not about any one person's effort right now. The zeitgeist is everybody rising up, everybody standing up as best we can, pooling our resources, all of us together, and just leaving behind us the things that don't matter. None of us need to be reminded, life is very serious, and we have very serious things to think about, particularly once you're a mother.
Right. You've spoken a lot about transcendental meditation in a lot of articles I've read. And that is something we discuss meditation on this podcast, and how sometimes it's really simple and quite easy for some and then difficult for others. Do you have
difficult
any insights?
For me.
Yeah. Candace is not a big meditator.
Kayla's the good meditator.
I love
I'm the one that has a struggle with it.
Any insight?
There's a path for you. I mean, I am a student of The Course in Miracles. I do a lesson every day. If you ask Candace and say, I'm willing, but I just don't know what my path is, books will fall at your feet. It's like what I was saying before. It's right there. Somebody will call and say, do you want to go to this meeting or whatever? There's a quieting of the mind technique for everybody if you're open to receive it. So maybe The Course in Miracles is not for you. Maybe a TM is not for you. So it'll be something else in the Kabbalah or Buddhism or whatever it is. It's there's one truth spoken in many different ways, but there's no one who can seek it who won't be shown what they've asked to be shown.
I know you also have a book that you have written called Politics of Love. Can you talk to us about what that is essentially about and what our listeners can expect when reading it?
We have politics right now in the United States that is guided by a particular economic philosophy, and it's called trickle-down economics. And it's the idea that if the government advocates for short-term profit maximization for huge multinational corporate interests, that this will somehow be better, because then you'll have a stockholder and CEO class that has all this money, and they will be perched up on corporate Mount Olympus somewhere, and they will drop crumbs from their table in the form of job creation. And the idea was that so many jobs would be created that it would lift all boats. But it's been 40 years since this started, and it not only has not lifted all boats, it has left millions and millions of people without even a life vest. It has created the biggest income inequality in almost 100 years, because it's what it's been is a massive transfer of wealth. You stop taxing the rich. You do everything you can to make huge corporations wealthier and wealthier. So you have so much wealth in the hands of a very few people that this is at the expense of enough people getting educated, at the expense of enough people having economic opportunity, at the expense of enough people having health care. So we need to shift now from that particular economic bottom line to a humanitarian bottom line, from an old way of looking at the world where you say that you improve your economy to improve the human condition, to one in which you say, no, 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 you improve the human condition and that improves your economy. Now, it's worth noting here, since we're all women together here, it's worth noting that the economic system and political system, for that matter, that now dominates was devised before women had a voice in the public realm. And child raising, for instance, was just seen as women's work and you took care of that. We now know, I'll give you an example. We now know things about the brain of a child before the age of 8 that they didn't even know 10 years ago. 80% of brain development occurs before the age of 3. What you are going through right now in the years of early childhood, this is where it all happens. Anything you put into the minds of your children before the age of 5 will be there forever. By 5, 90% of the brain is developed. We should completely front end our resources as a country into the direction in the direction of early childhood. So when you say a politics of love is guided by an understanding of what humanity needs in order to thrive. Now, if people are able to spread their wings, if people have enough education, if people have enough health care, if people have enough opportunity that they can live their dreams, what are they going to do? They're going to produce. They're going to create. What's that going to do? Create money. So the idea that leaving people in chronic economic despair, which tens of millions of Americans are, you have a $1.5 trillion college loan debt. That's 45 million people. And I'm sure if it's not you, I'm sure you have friends who took out tens, sometimes. I know a young woman who works, but she has $100,000 college loan debt. I don't know what it would, I can't even imagine being in my 20s, for instance. Some of these people in their 20s with thousands of dollars worth of debt like that, I don't know how you psychologically emerge from that. I couldn't have handled psychologically and emotionally, I couldn't have handled that kind of burden when I was that age. Mm. But there are all these people who, okay, I got the degree, I took out the loans to get the degree in order to try to manifest my dream. But now, in order to manifest my dream, I'd have to take a job that I don't think would make me enough money to pay off my college loan. So you got tens of millions of people who are working at jobs they hate, but they are there because they need the health care, or they're there because they don't know how else to figure out a way to make enough money to pay off these college loans. And then they're completely falling apart. And we call that a mental health crisis. And we look to the same system that passed those policies to now deal with the economic to deal with the mental health crisis. You bastards created this mental health crisis,
right?
Well, do you have hope going into this next year and also this new presidency? Do you have hope? I mean, I think we're all kind of coming down from the year, but I'm like, as I'm crawling into 2021, I'm like starting to search for what could be.
We broke the free fall of American democracy, and that had to come first. And now the next phase of things is basically a battle for the soul of the Democratic Party. Because the Republican Party has been bought hook, line, and sinker by the corporatist mentality. Take care of the corporations, take care of the corporations, right? Even this bailout has been for Wall Street, but not for Main Street, right? The Democratic Party has both groups. It has the corporatists, the moderates, but then it also has the real progressives who are saying, no, let's get people health care. Let's remove these college loans. That give people free tuition at state colleges and universities. These are called the progressives. And of course, the corporatists like to say we're radical lefties. What's radical about that? You're talking about we should have the same health care as they have in every other advanced democracy. And if it makes sense that you have free public health, free public school through the 12th grade, and you're living at a time where that's simply not enough anymore. It's not some communist plot to say, well, let's include the next 4 years because that's what people will need, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the struggle that is occurring now.
I love it. Well, I thank you so much, Marianne, for joining us today. We're so excited for your podcast. It's out
thank
and available
you.
Now
thank
and your
you.
Book as well. And then I just have one more question because I got to ask. Do you still sing? Because I read a few things that said you wanted to be a cabaret singer back in the day. And do you have like your go-to cabaret song that you whip out for the holidays?
No, it's not. No, I was a singer the way Bill Clinton was played the saxophone. You know,
I love that though.
Yeah, that's another thing about me that you wanted to be, you know, it was like I was young. I didn't, you know, so I sang. I have a pretty decent voice, but I talk better than I sing. And I came to realize that with speaking, I thought I had something to give. With singing, I'm okay, but I was, you know, I'm not Mariah Carey. So I realized my in-between banter was better. But yeah, when I, of course, since Joe Biden was elected, I've been going around the house singing Happy Days Are Here Again, like a lot of people have.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us and talking and pushing the envelope forward, because these are the kind of conversations we want to have. And we're really grateful you took the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you. I so appreciate it. And my best to you and your children and all your family.
Thank you.
God bless you, Donna. Thank you.
I really am in awe after talking to Marianne about how easy she made it seem to reflect back on her past and learn from it, because that's not something that's easily done in life, or that's not something I can do easily. But she seemed to have been able to really kind of go through some hard experiences and then be able to kind of learn from them so quickly. Already she's talking about what she learned from when she ran in the race, and it's mainly only been a year.
What she's experienced has been in the public eye. And that I cannot imagine having to emotionally process and digest, not just on your own, but you're kind of doing it in front of everybody. And so I appreciate her willingness just to jump right in. I mean, I really was just, you know, trying to be more lighthearted at the beginning. And but she was like, no, let's talk about it. Let's jump right
let's
into,
go deep,
you know,
right away.
Let's jump right into the fact that I ran for president and have a lot of thoughts on, you know, where I might have had some missteps. And I think that takes just a lot of, it shows a lot of vulnerability and strength within that vulnerability, which I appreciate. And that is definitely something that I'm taking away from our conversation with Marianne today. Is that bravery.
Right. And there's an element to her admitting that she had people to turn to and just didn't know to turn to them. And that's something that I really am going to take away as well is, you know, having mentors is one thing, but being able to utilize them when you really need them is really important too. So starting this new year, that's what I'm going to make sure I do, is really make sure I reach out to those who can help me in times of need, because why have a mentor if you're not going to utilize them?
It's very true. That's very true. Because I think sometimes it's easier not to ask, or we feel bad, or we just don't want to impose, or going back to, you know, what Marianne was saying in our conversation today, we don't want to feel like we're dumb or we don't know the answer, or, you know, that we basically what we talk about all the time, that we should have it all figured out. And we don't want to ask the questions. But that's how we learn and that's how we grow. And you know what? Sometimes you don't figure out how you're going to enter the new year on wishing papers. Sometimes it's from sitting down and having vulnerable conversations. And we can't wait to kick off 2021 with you guys. We've got so many episodes coming up. We also still have our Patreon page. If you want to go to Patreon, look up Directionally Challenged with Candace King and Kayla Yule. We have our bonus episodes up. So if you want more Directionally Challenged, join us, become a patron. We have weekly bonus episodes. We hope you guys had a wonderful holiday, and we cannot wait to see what 2021 has in store for all of us together.
Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions.
Producer, Melissa DeMonts.
Edited by Katrina Henning.
Post-production sound by Chris Henry.
Music by Joe King.
And advertising partnership with Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.